We just ask the Lord again this morning to make His Word a blessing to us. I just believe all the words of God are valuable and helpful in our experience with the Lord. And so if He'll anoint that, it'll be a blessing, I believe. We wrote on the board, inner motivations. And I'm thinking this morning, in John 1 and 47, you know, we can't really see what's in the heart of one another. We can just see what comes out on the outside. But the Lord sees the heart. And the Lord, when He saw Nathanael, it says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to Him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. And you know, there wasn't anything other than just what you saw with Nathanael. And I believe the Lord paid some special respect to that when He saw him and He said that, Behold, look at this fella. There isn't any guile in him. He's just really who he is. And you know, I think about that, how that the Lord Himself prizes a clean and a pure spirit and a complete honesty within ourself. And I just want us to think about this morning. I just feel like the Lord gave me a few thoughts about this, and so I just want to share a few different things. What the Lord, I believe, felt like was important ought to be important to us. In Luke 12, the Lord saw some other folks, and they weren't quite so much this way. And Jesus spoke to His disciples there in Luke 12 and 1 and 2. It says, In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, He began to say unto His disciples, First of all, Beware. Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And I want to just talk to us a little bit this morning about, I believe, what Jesus' thoughts are a little bit about these things. He looked at Nathanael, and I believe He appreciated what He saw. And you know, I believe He blessed Nathanael's life too, because He said, there isn't any deceit in this man. But here He told His disciples, He said, I want you to beware of something. And you know, when we beware of something, we're a little bit cautious of it. You know, people 2,000 years ago, I believe, are exactly like people today. So for us to feel like, well, this was just a different situation, we would never have to worry about that. You know what? We're people just like they were people. And we are tempted with the same things they were. But you know, Jesus told them, you beware of the leaven that they have. Leaven, I want to read just a little bit out of one of the commentaries. It says here, leaven mixed in flour is not known until it produces its effects. I'm just skipping around a little bit here. Leaven will soon pervade the whole mass. And it says, when Jesus cautions them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, He means that they should be cautious about imbibing their spirit and becoming like them. The religion of Jesus is one of sincerity, of humility, of an entire want or lack, I put in, of disguise. The humblest man is the best Christian, and he who has the least disguise is most like his master. You know, I don't have any agendas in talking about this. I just feel like the Lord gave me a few thoughts about it this morning. And so, you know, when He tells us here to beware of something, He said here, the commentary says, leaven mixed in flour is not known until it produces its effects. You know, sometimes inner motivations that we might have, sometimes we may not even fully realize them ourselves. And it may be years before it produces effect. But you know, it does produce effect. And there's something about leaven that goes all through silently. Nobody sees it happen. It just goes all through a loaf of bread. And you see the effects. You see what happens. You see the puffing up. You see the problem, the what begins to happen, the decay that happens. I want us to think about this morning, the Lord is looking at our spirit. He's looking at our inner motivations and weighing us. And you know the thing, sometimes we look at things and we look at the future and we just feel like, well, I know I'm ready to meet God. But you know, it's more than that. It's more than that. We can have inner motivations that we're really a little bit unaware of that will cause us a lot of trouble. And we hardly even realize it. So this morning, I'm thinking what Jesus told us here. Beware of this leaven called hypocrisy. Beware of the thing that would make us one person in one place and another person in another. Or have one set of convictions in one place and another set in another. You know, the Lord is looking for people that want to serve Him with all of their heart. I want to look at a few things, and we're not really just talking about this. I don't want us to center our thoughts in on hypocrisy only. But you know, there's a lot of things, a lot of inner motivations that we can have that will really hinder our walk in the Lord. It hinders our work with the Lord. It hinders our relationships with our spouses and with our spouse or with our children or with our job situations many times. And so I believe when the Lord starts looking down in our hearts and begins to want to search our hearts, you know, sometimes you see people and you talk to them about a certain thing and they always go off on a certain way and you think, why? That's a little bit unlogical. I wonder why that happens. You know, many times there's something that happened in their childhood. And every time they come to that place, they veer off this way. Maybe it's fear. But you know, it's something down inside you can't see. But it's pervaded a whole life. And many times it creates a lot of troubles for us. And so when we read the Word of God, let's let it, Lord, search me with Your Word and teach me how to be that Israelite in heart that is without inner motivations that are subversive or wrong or wrong-spirited or things like that. Give me a right spirit within me. David said one place, he said, create within me a right spirit. You know, the Lord is really wanting to do that within us today. When we have a right spirit and we follow the Lord in that way, you know, that's something that God can put His approval on. He'll come down in His presence and work with that. When our heart, before God, there isn't any anger towards someone. There isn't any resentment towards someone. There isn't any lust towards something wrong. You know, when we begin to allow a place in our lives for the work of the enemy, you know, we take great losses. And many times we end up in shipwreck because of it. Just want us to think about this morning. Lord, help me to beware. Not just of the leaven of hypocrisy, but help me to beware of the leaven that'll fill all through my life of a desire for too much, a desire for too whatever, a desire for a little revenge. All of these things are very important to the Lord. And so when He looks down in our life, He sees who we are. And I believe He cries for us many times. He says, I wish I could. Oh, He cried for the people of Jerusalem. He looked out over there and He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And He wept for them because He saw what was coming upon them. But you know, in our lives, I believe the Lord wants us to have a life that I believe if people could see what was inside, they would see pure gold. A right spirit, right desires, a real want and willingness to do all the will of God in our life, to follow the Lord in all His ways, to humble ourselves when we're too big. The Lord sees all of those things. We all sometimes have to let the Lord correct us. But what kind of inner motivation do we have? If we want to be some way that's not right, then what we'll find is it'll filter through all of our life. And we'll find it filtering. In Matthew 6 and 1 to 6, I want to look at a few scriptures here. Jesus told them here, he said, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them." Now listen to what Jesus said. You know, well, who would do that? Who would just try to be? People would. We would if we're not careful. You know what? That's right. And so when we recognize we're people, the Lord has to help us to be careful. But he says here, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them." The Lord wants us to do alms before men. The Lord wants us to help people because we want to help people. Because we want to serve the Lord with all of our heart. God wants to put that within our heart. And so he told us. And why did Jesus teach on this? Because he knows people. And so he said, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." If you do it for that motivation, then really all you get is somebody's admiration. But you don't get the Lord's. And you don't get his blessing. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. You know what Jesus is talking about here? He's talking about doing things because it's in our heart to do it. Not because we're trying to get something from somebody else. So he says here, "That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men." Is that true? Yes, that's what they did. If you read about history, they were really bold about it. They got it to an art. And they had big old phylacteries and big things on their, what they wore. And I think they wore things over their forehead and scriptures and all of these things. Well, you know what they were doing many times? They were just trying to be seen of men. Trying to be looked up to. And so he says here, "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret." Now we're talking about a heart desire. Nobody's seeing me here. I want you, Lord, to help me. You see what a heart desire the Lord is looking for? Behold, here's one of my children that really wants me. And he's in his closet and nobody else knows it. Or she. You know, that's a motivation of the heart others cannot see. "And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." He rewards you with his presence and with his blessing from his spirit upon our life. The Lord does that. I believe the Lord is really interested in the inner motivations of our heart. In Isaiah 58, starting at verse 3, I want to read a little bit here, and it seems kind of strange that people would fast for strife and debate. We've been, as a congregation, been trying to fast some and pray earnestly that God would help in some of the needs, some of the ones that are sick and afflicted and different needs. Some of those that are going to Africa. But you know, Jesus, God told them here, he said, I'll start at verse 2. "Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice and take delight. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not." They were kind of charging God here. "Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. When you take the day off to go before the Lord in a special way, he says you're exacting all your labor. You're just using up my time. And I'm not saying that's always wrong. But, you know, what the Lord is saying here, I believe, is their motivations were just a little bit wrong. And he went on to say, behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? But you know, the Lord goes on and he wants to speak to these people. And he said, here's the fast that I've chosen. I believe in fasting and I'm glad we're doing that. And I believe God honors that. But you know, he goes on to say, I want your inner motivations to be right. And he said, is not this the fast, verse 6, Isaiah 58, that I have chosen to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? You know what? The Lord, I believe, is requiring this kind of fast as well. And he said, I want you to break your bread to the hungry. I don't want you to feel like all your bread is your bread. All your bread is not your bread. I gave it to you. I believe the Lord would tell us that. I gave you your bread. It's not all yours. I want you to share it. I want you to break your bread with the hungry. I want you to have compassion on people when you see them in need. I want you to reach out your hand to folks. And he says here, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house. When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. How would we hide ourselves from our flesh? The Lord says, I believe God instituted fasting. Okay? I believe God honors it. But you know what he told him here? He said, am I honored by you bowing down your soul and getting real in sackcloth and feeling real low and not eating and all those things? I believe God wants us to humble ourselves, all right? But you know what he said? I want you to do something else. He said here, don't hide yourself from your own flesh. You know, we have a little example of that in the example, help me out, the one asking, who is my neighbor? And he said that there was a man that was robbed, the Good Samaritan, and he was robbed, and he was left by the roadside wounded. And you know, there was some that came along that could have helped him and didn't. They were very concerned about their own way, their own time, their own money, their own life. And he said, two of them went right on by. But there was a Samaritan. Samaritans weren't very popular among the Jews. But there was a Samaritan that came along and he saw his neighbor. And he had a heart for him. And he stopped and he bound up his wounds and he put him on his own donkey. He took him to the inn and he paid the bill and he said, if there's more, I'll pay it. You know, I believe the Lord is looking at that. Sometimes we, in our motivations, we want to be blessed. We just want to be blessed. Lord, I just want you to bless me. I want you to just bless us. I want you to just pour out your spirit. And God might be saying, I want to do that. I want you to bless me. I want you to bless my child over there that's without, that doesn't have what he needs. I want you to bless them, and I'll bless you. We want to read on here what the Lord says. So many times we get caught up in our own life, in our own way of doing, in our own way of thinking, and we're just looking for blessing. And we want blessing. I want the blessing of the Lord. I think we all do. But he goes on here to say, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? And then in verse 8, he goes on and says, then, when we do that, when we fast like that, he says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Your light's just going to come on. It's going to break forth. That's the wording here. It's going to break forth as the morning. And thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward, thy rearward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul. And that might be spiritually afflicted. That might be physically afflicted. That might be emotional. You know, the Lord wants us to draw out our soul to them. We have something from God, and He wants it shared. He didn't give it to us just for ourselves. And so when we see our needs, you know what the Lord is telling us many times? Open up your treasures. They're mine. I gave them to you. I want you to look out there and see those that have needs. I want you to do that. I believe the Lord is telling us to do that. And He says, when you do that, the light's just going to come on you. And He said, you're going to call and the Lord shall answer. And He shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity. We'll drop on down. Well, 10. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. That's a pretty good promise. When your darkest moments are as the noonday, he said, I'll light you up. I'll light it up. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, a spring of water whose waters fail not. Those are pretty good promises. You know, I just want to encourage us this morning. I didn't totally think of all those things, but I will say this. I believe the Lord wants us in our fasting to fast His way as well. Open up our hearts and look out, for the fields are ripe to harvest. I believe they're ripe to harvest. I know there's a lot of folks in today's world rejecting the Lord and the gospel. But you know what else? There's a lot of folks out there that are needy and wanting. And we have an abundance of the blessing of the Lord. And let us share those things, our homes. If the Lord has blessed us with that, and I thank God for our home, a very happy place I love to be. You know what? Open up the doors. And I believe the Lord will open up the windows of heaven to us. In Matthew 10 and 40 is another scripture. It says, Matthew 10 and 40. Listen to what Jesus is saying here. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me, talking about God. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Did you know that? You can get a prophet's reward even if you're not a prophet. He said, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Look at that. Now he didn't say giving them a cup because you're going to get two cups back someday from them. He said, you won't lose your reward if out of your heart you give a cup of cold water to a disciple. I just want to encourage us this morning. Give a cup of cold water. That's not asking very much. Give a cup of cold water. There's thirsty people all around us. Open up our hearts and give a little of that to those around. I believe this is not talking about making a great noise before us. This is talking about something done basically in secret. This is talking about an inner motivation that we have, that we have a heart for someone else. You know, we don't have to have a great place to be able to do these kind of things. But I believe God looks on it, and He said you won't lose your reward if we do that. In Colossians 3 and 23, I'm going to read through several scriptures now, Lord willing. Colossians 3 and 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. You know, we don't want to give of ourselves as someone's expecting it or just they're needing it. He says, do it heartily. Open up and just give as unto the Lord. This is to the Lord. And you know, I believe then we receive a reward back. I was thinking about, and I'm just thinking about inner motivations, not just one area. But I was thinking about Cain and Abel. And that's found in Genesis 4. But you know, the story, we all know it well. They came to bring a sacrifice to the Lord. And this is what we're talking about this morning, bringing sacrifices to the Lord. Sacrifices acceptable. And he says, the Lord accepted Abel's sacrifice. How did he do that? I don't know totally. But the Lord accepted, I believe, in several ways. And Cain's sacrifice, he didn't pay any attention to. You know, I wonder what Cain's motivation was when he brought the sacrifice. Was his heart, I want to please God with all of my heart? I somehow believe if he would have had that motivation, when God reproved him, he would have said, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. Please forgive my disobedience here. I want to do it your way. If he would have just had a heart to do it God's way. But I believe Cain had something in it for himself. I'm not totally sure why he offered the sacrifice and didn't offer it like God said. Maybe he just wanted the blessing. He just wanted God's blessing. Lord, I just want you to bless me, so I'm going to offer this sacrifice to you because you've commanded it. But his heart really wasn't in it. But you know, the Lord told him, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. I want to look at another place or two in James 3 and 13. And this is kind of changing a little bit of the topic. But it's still talking about our inner motivations. James 3 and 13 says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. You know, I think about what the Lord has told us here. He says, where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. You know, when our motivation is not right, it leaves places for the enemy to work in many different ways. You know, I think about, have you ever seen somebody, and all of us probably have, that we knew their motivation was wrong, and you could see what they were after to begin with? Do you know that there is no... thank you. There is no amount of working with that person to bring them to a knowledge of the truth. Because their inner motivation may be of bitter envying. If somebody is envious, if somebody has strife in their hearts, we're talking about inner motivations this morning. The Lord wants our hearts to be pure and clean. I believe He puts His approval upon that. But He said here, where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. You know, there is every evil work that penetrates that kind of place. The truth cannot penetrate our heart when we have motivations that are not quite right. And so as we humble ourselves before the Lord and look to the Lord, Lord, I need You to search me. I believe David said, search me, O God. There's a number of places that talks about searching. And you know, when we do that, the Lord begins to put His light on us and help us. And I believe what we find is that we find the Lord beginning to say, here I am. Here I am. And He says, one place before You called, He answered. Something, that's not an exact quote. But the Lord, I believe, wants to bless us. And I appreciate the blessing of the Lord in so many ways. I was thinking about the different things. Have you ever seen somebody and been in a conversation with someone that had an anger against somebody in particular, or had a burr? Do you know that there is nothing that you can say that they won't come back with something to it? It is impossible until they get that out of their heart. You know, then the blessing of the Lord can come. Truth can penetrate. Many things, there's many blessings can come from that. Just want to encourage us this morning. Lord, search my heart. In my relationship with my husband, with my wife, Lord, search me and teach me Your ways and show me Your paths. And help me to be honest. Help me to be one of those Israelites that is an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no other motivations except to please God. I believe if Cain would have had that motivation, he would have just said, Lord, please, I'm sorry. I'll do it like You want me to do it. But Cain didn't have that motivation. And so God Himself reproved Cain, but He didn't hear it because he didn't have the motivation that would change the situation. I want to look at another scripture, and this maybe this will be our last one. Philippians 4 and 18. Philippians 4 and 18 says, But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from You, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. You know, I believe the Lord would have liked to look on Cain like He did Abel and said, you've offered, okay, Cain, you came back. You've offered a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing. And I'm going to smile on that. I believe the Lord would have done that for Cain. You know, the Lord will do that for us too. Sometimes we may find ourselves in error and God may reprove us. He may check our conscience. Our wife may check our conscience. Our child may check our conscience. Our worker next to us may say, hey, you've got a bad attitude. Or they may, you ever had somebody say something like that? You know what we do at that time, Lord? Search me, Lord. I want to be honest. Because I want to offer the sacrifice that is acceptable and well-pleasing to You. I believe when we offer our sacrifices in that way, God opens the windows of heaven and He just pours out a blessing upon that. So I just want to encourage us this morning. Lord, we're looking for Your blessing. We need Your blessing. Oh, let us offer a sacrifice that is acceptable, that is well-pleasing. That when I call, Lord, that You will say, here I am. I believe the Lord will do that for us. And so as we begin to search our lives and allow God to search us, it is a blessing. Oh, how Cain could have been blessed. Why did he have to have a mark on him the rest of his life? Why did Cain have to go around like that, bearing the regret of what he did? when he could have been blessed. You know, that's the way it is with us. I believe the blessing of the Lord falls upon all those that serve him in sincerity and in truth with all of our hearts. The Lord will do that for us. I just want to encourage us this morning. We can turn from where we're at, and it may be something small. It may not be something that is great, but it still pervades all through the life. It's like leaven. If it's not pure, if it's not honest and true and courteous and loving and all those things that God is, if we can't match it up to those things, then it falls below the standard of what God is. Many times we might want to poke a finger, well, I don't see anything, I'm not doing anything wrong. But does it match to the standard that the Lord has? Can he say, can he look at us and say, this is an acceptable, well-pleasing sacrifice? I'll open the window. I'm going to pour him out a blessing. Amen.